This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And good Saturday morning and welcome to a hot August day along the Great Gulf Coast. Want to wish some good luck to the contestants in today's 25th annual Mobile Big Game Fishing Club's Billfish Unlimited. Spectators can see some really big fish, and the winners collect some really big cash. All that wraps up tomorrow at the Orange Beach Marina on the Alabama coast. Well, of course, this morning, as always, you'll hear live reports from our staff of professional anglers and marina operators. Those will be mixed in with your reports. We love to hear from you, our audience. You can text your fishing reports to us, along with your comments and questions, to 504-260-1870. Our fish of the day today is going to be the red snapper. Tomorrow, our Bayou Wild team's going to be heading out of Sycamore Point with a couple of members of the LSU Lady Tiger gymnastic team. Sierra Ballard and Ashley Cowan will be making a future Tigers in the Wild episode with us. And this morning, our Bad Boy of the Outdoor story also features red snapper. We got a red snapper napper from Abbeville. And also, he didn't get quite all of our quota, so we're going to take a look at the latest red snapper count and see how much longer our red snapper season will last here in Louisiana. And finally, to complete our red snapper day, I'm looking for your favorite red snapper recipe, and you can text that to me at 504-260-1870. Always looking for new ways to cook one of the most versatile fish, that white, flaky red snapper. Don't you just love them? We'll also be talking about Clean Out Your Freezer Day. Can you believe it? It's here already. The organization known as Hunters for the Hungry is setting up pickup spots all across the state. That'll be taking place over the next several weeks, and I'll be manning one of the stations in Slidell. I believe in that organization strongly, and I volunteer my time to do it, and I'll be out there. And hope you'll stop by if you're going to be dropping off in the Slidell area and say hello and drop off some of the game or fish or any type of meat or food that you have for the hungry. And get that freezer cleaned out so you got room for this upcoming hunting season. The hunting seasons are not that far off. About 3 more weeks or so, we'll be opening dove season in some of the southern states. All right, taking a look at your coastal marine forecast if you're headed out fishing today. I got about a 50% chance of rain. 50-50, pop-up showers along the coast. Winds will be out of the west. Offshore, 10 to 18, got about 2 to 3-foot seas. On the interior lakes and bays, those westerly winds will be about 6 to 12 knots. Tomorrow, rain probability drops down to about 20%. Winds 8 to 15, 1 to 2 feet offshore, and they will be variable. On the inside, variable 6 to 12. Your average tide range, it has been strong the last couple of days and continues to stay that way through the weekend. About a foot and a half is the average. And the Mississippi River looks like the bottom's falling out, 5.3 feet and continuing to fall. That's good news for those of you who like to fish down along those areas affected by the Mississippi River. Good, clean, salty water promotes inside fishing, and it's a great thing. So we got all that coming up, and again, your comments and questions, your red snapper recipe. I got one in for blackened red snapper, which sounds great, and I love blackened redfish, but I'm a little concerned about putting a flaky white textured snapper on a white-hot black iron skillet. It may tend to kind of break it up. I don't know. You guys have to be careful, but certainly a good dish to have. All right, we come back after this. We start off with Robbie Campo. He's down at Shell Beach. He's been there for a long time. His grandpa started the business called Campo's Marina, and they've been selling bait and dunking boats in the water for many, many years, and Robbie continues to do a great job. And besides that, every Saturday morning, he gives you the latest information on where the fish were caught during the week, the bait availability, and anything else you need to know for fishing in the place they call the Parish of St. Bernard. We're back right after this podcast. Outdoors on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, everybody's trying to get their last summertime fishing in with the kids before the kids got to go back to school. And one of the places I've been hot on fire, really, a lot of midweek reports I got was down from the Shell Beach, Delacroix, Hopedale area. And Robbie Campo keeps an eye on for us each and every week. Robbie, we need to start off with a bridge alert. And you probably know this, but Butch, our friendly bridge operator there at Wycloski, says the boat blessings today, and the bridge is going to be up from 1 to 2, so anybody needs to cross, do before then, or you'll be stuck until it's finished.
Yeah, you know, Don, we have an annual boat blessing here today, and that is true. It's going to go up. I was told 12 o'clock, so I would make sure that I'm in before.
I would make sure that I'm in before that.
And so you don't want to get caught in this if you're looking to get out of here. So, but I tell you, Don, you know, this boat blessing thing has been something that's been going on around here since the beginning of time, I guess. You know, this place existed, and it's just one more year. My granddaughter is the captain of the Wycloski boat blessing this year. So Miss Ella Jean will be leading. She'll be leading the pack today on one of my oyster boats today. So it's going to be a good time, and you'll want to stay and watch it. You're more than welcome to. It'll be pretty. They'll have the boats all decorated up and everything else. So, but anyway, enough about the boat blessing. This week, Don, fishing was just absolutely incredible. Yesterday we had a little bit of west wind they caught fish yesterday, but I tell you, they had to work for them yesterday. So, you know, look, we got our tanks full down here. If you're coming down and you want to get that last fishing trip in before these kids start school, and look, you know, you don't have much more time for CCA either. You know, we're a month out on that deal for a star tournament. If you still want to fish that, get your star tournament ticket. There's still a chance to catch you another tag redfish or catch a fish that will win this tournament. So get all that stuff in line and get moving. You ain't got much time left for that. And then, you know, but Don, I tell you, the Britain Sound this week was just incredible. Long Rocks has been good. A lot of pick-throughs over there. I'm hearing a lot of 12 and 3-quarter fish. The 2023 models, we call them now. So we should have an epic fall if these fish make it, Don. We got to keep our eye on that little thing that's coming next week. I don't know what's going to happen with that storm next week, but we're going to keep our eye on that and hope that thing goes into Florida instead of comes here.
Well, so far that's the prediction, but you know, as you know, you've been living here long enough to know you got to keep your eye on them, because sometimes they don't listen to what the meteorologist forecasts and they take a turn that was unexpected. So we'll be keeping an eye on it, but so far doesn't look like it's going to cause us very much trouble. Robbie, specific spots, I got reports Lake Campo and also out in Black Bay. Those have been the really two hot spots for the big trout.
Well, I heard. You know, and I get some really good information here, you know, at the marina here. Iron Banks was good. Stone Island was good. Now, the water was a little bit dirtier going out towards Battledore, but I did have one boat that found some clean water over there, and they mopped them up pretty good. But for the most part, that water was a little bit dirty over there this past week. More toward the rocks, Long Rocks, going towards Central Oil Field and Bay Elwha. You know, those little wells around up in Bay Elwha has been turning on. So it seemed like the fish were more east this week than they were on the west side of the channel. So if it were me and I was gonna go fishing this morning, I think I would have to head towards Central or, you know, Holy Cross or somewhere going a little bit eastward, but just because it had a little bit of river water over there last week.
Right. Robbie, size of the shrimp, they've been running pretty small. Is that still the situation if somebody's buying live bait?
Actually, Don, the shrimp right now are running about a 70, 80 count shrimp, which is not bad. It's pretty bait. You know, the bait was running small for a couple of days there. I told you, you know, remember, we had this conversation a couple of weeks ago. You know, your bait catcher goes from a hero to a zero overnight, you know, when he's brown shrimp leaves. But they have gotten nicer. Shrimp season opens up on the 5th over here, you know, Monday morning. So I think that's the 5th. Monday is the 5th. It's going to open up. But, you know, and the Biloxi Marsh will still be closed to the 12th. But for the most part, I mean, you couldn't ask for prettier bait than we have right now. Now, the problem is, you know, and look, Don, the water's 85, 90 degrees. It's hot. The water's hot. So these shrimp, you know, they people are struggling to keep them alive in their bait tanks. They're circulating water from the outside, putting water in their bait tanks all the time. You know what I mean? Just, you know, recirc your water and put some ice in a Ziploc bag and cool your water down a little bit. Seems to help. Frozen water bottles work good. The only problem with frozen water bottles is if you get a little bit of a chop, it tends to, you know, they tend to bounce around and then kind of beat things up a little bit. But, you know, ice in a bag seems to work pretty good. Got to, you know, you try to cool that water down just a couple degrees, and it does make a big difference on keeping them alive.
Yeah, and there could be something in the ice water itself. That's why you want to put it in the bag or in the bottle. But, yeah, last thing you want to do is give those shrimp a headache before they go try to catch your trout. Don't beat them up with those
absolutely.
Hard bottles. All right, Robbie.
But I'll tell you, plastic worked really well this week, too. And, look, I'm going to tell you what's happening. So, look, and you know I'm a live bait guy. But, you know, if I could catch them all live shrimp, I'm going to catch them all live shrimp. But I'm going to tell you, plastic worked really well this past week. You know, the shrimp krill matrix shads worked really well this past week, shad champagne stuff. They caught a lot of fish on plastics, and they caught bigger fish on plastics than they seem to catch on live shrimp. So, you know, look, you hear it from the horse's mouth. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to tell you what they're catching them on. So if you get them started on live bait, somebody try plastic, because plastic seemed to be putting a little bit better fish in the boat. So, and that's not always it works like that. Don't go with plastic and not take none, because you want to have some shrimp for an insurance policy. So, make sure you got that.
Well, some of the wisest words ever came from a fisherman's mouth was, when you go to war, bring all your weapons, the live bait, dead bait, plastic bait, whatever you got, because you want to win.
That's exactly right.
All right, Rob. Y'all have a great weekend,
exactly
my
right.
friend. We'll talk to you next time.
All right, buddy. Talk to you next Saturday. Bye-bye.
See you then. Robbie Campo, Campo's Marine in Shell Beach. Wave to that was his daughter, granddaughter, that's going to be down there on the float. I think it's his daughter going to be waving on the float. She's the queen of the blessing of the fleet. Say hello to her. All right, we'll come back. Boy, thank y'all for the great red snapper recipes. You're making me hungry here at 5:21 on a Saturday morning. We'll be right back with some more information for you, and also tell you about the Hunters for the Hungry program coming up this month. We're back after this on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, let's check out, boy, look at the red snapper recipes. We're asking that. Today's kind of our red snapper day, where we're going to give you the estimated catch and when we think the red snapper season might shut down here in Louisiana. You know, that's the way it works. In fact, all of the Gulf states have gone to this because of new reporting methods that the states developed and took it out of the hands of the federal government. We are now getting more generous seasons. They last longer. We can keep more fish. And in Louisiana, we had a quota this year of nearly a million pounds, 934,587 pounds, that will be allowed to be harvested this season. We are at about 70.4% of that through July 21st. These landings are actually a couple of weeks behind because it takes time to accumulate the data from the reporting from the ROLP and also from the charter captains, and then they compile the numbers and then kind of project when the season might be closed, and then they'll shut it down when it's estimated that we reach that quota. If we don't go over the quota, then that poundage is allowed for the following year. 70.4% would be 657,996 pounds. That's a lot of red snapper that have been caught. But we've still got nearly 30% to go, or probably less than that because this is through the 21st of July. So I'm thinking we've got at least 30, possibly 60 days. A lot depends on the fishing success, the weather conditions, and as we start to make that turn when school opens and summer vacations ends, it kind of slows down. And then, of course, when the hunting seasons come in, people are doing other things. So between 30 and 60 days, I think we can easily make that. So it should be able to last and withstand throughout the CCA Star Tournament, which right now the leading fisherman in the red snapper category is Gerald Peterson. He weighed his snapper in 25.06 pounds. That's a lot of snapper. Bridgeside Marina was the location. Joe Dwaron brought his 24.82 to the Grand Isle Marina. He's holding on to second place. And Molly Dwaron had a 24.50, also weighed in at the Grand Isle Marina. So plenty of time and opportunity, and not just the red snapper division, but a lot of the CCA Star Tournament. We're kind of making the stretch run now as we head into Labor Day. All right, so that's your red snapper standings for Louisiana. Let's see what else we got here on the text message board. Here's one that's very simple but excellent. Pan-fried red snapper in butter. It doesn't get much simpler, but, boy, it allows you to get that good red snapper flavor. Here's the backstrap stacker, one of our Alabama listeners. Nothing beats fried fresh snapper. Nothing. I prefer to batter my fish with fresh flour and some Tony Sacheries, marinated in a milk Louisiana hot sauce bath, then squeeze some lemon juice on your fried pieces as soon as they're done frying. So good. Yeah, that's, you know, a lot of these red snapper recipes, that fish is so white and flaky and delicious, it's simplicity usually is some of the better ways to prepare. All right, here's a question. Good morning, Don. Can venison from Mississippi be brought to Hunters for the Hungry? That's Ben from Mississippi. Ben, it certainly can. At that point, if it's packed away in the freezer and processed, it's considered food, and you don't have to, you know, worry about any checks and limits and CWD requirements or anything like that. You can definitely bring it, and I don't know what part of Mississippi you're in, but if you're in the eastern part, the southeastern part of Mississippi, and I'm going to be at the Slidell Gauze Road Boulevard, location of Rouse's, on August the 18th. That's what, couples, it's a Sunday, probably two Sundays from tomorrow. And I'll be there from 1 to 4, and bring me your game, any type of game, as long as it's wrapped, packaged, hopefully it's dated. You can bring fish or seafood, they accept that. And really, a lot of people, they'll just walk in the store, make a purchase, and donate it. Hunters for the Hungry, it goes to food banks, major food banks, and their agencies all across the state. It's a great effort, and I don't think anything does more for the image of hunters than to share their food with the hungry. And the really cool and unique thing about it is you can't buy wild game. Wild game is priceless, and it's the fruits of someone's hard work and labor. And to share that with the misfortunate is a great thing. I've actually been out to some of the cooking events where they serve some of the homeless and the hungry, and it's very rewarding. In fact, we're going to get Julie to come on from Hunters for the Hungry maybe next week and tell you how you can drop off and also how you can volunteer if you'd like to do that. CleanOutYourFreezer.com. That's the best website to go to. There's locations all across the state. They start as early as August 12th. So that's coming up real soon. Find out where one is near you. Get your food together, drop it off, and make room in that freezer for the fall fishing and hunting seasons. All right, we're back right after this. Got some more red snapper recipes, more fishing info. Stuff you and I, we just love to talk about it. We don't get enough about it. And we talk all about it here on Saturday mornings on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And it's Red Snapper Day on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. We got a Red Snapper Napper Bad Boy feature. We're talking about the season for red snappers, and also one of the most important things, how do you like to cook your red snapper? We're asking for your favorite recipe, 504-260-1870. We also have a special trip coming up tomorrow with our Bayou Wild TV team. We're going to be doing the Tigers in the Wild episode with a couple of LSU Lady Tiger gymnasts, Sierra Ballard and Ashley Cowan, and you'll see that on a TV near you coming up this next fall season. All right, red snapper recipes, we'll get to those. Also, later on, we got a special guest reporter for our Paddlers Report. Chris Holmes is filling in for Eric Mohabarak. He'll have the information for all of you who like to get up close and personal with for your fish. Right now, we pause a quick 10 seconds for our local stations to identify themselves on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, I got a recipe called Captain Robin's Snapper from Destin Beach. All right, here it is. And some of you might want to turn your recorders on or get your pencil and papers out if you got some snapper or plan to have some for some of these recipes that are coming in. Of course, replays of this program, if you fail to get up and answer the bell at 5 o'clock on a Saturday morning, if you go to my website, DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com, you're going to find a link. It'll click you to the replays for this program. All right, from Captain Robin, his snapper recipe, it calls for 3 to 4 snapper fillets. First, you roll a stick of butter in Wondra flour. Number 2, you melt it in a saucepan, then slowly add 1 pint of room temperature heavy cream, and then add juice of 2 lemons, a cup of white wine, and then step number 3, a pinch of tarragon and chopped fresh parsley and a tablespoon of garlic reduce. How about that? Captain Robin, you could be called Chef Robin. Thanks for that recipe. Making everyone hungry here across the network. All right, we got Captain Ross L. Last weekend at the camp in Dulac, is a Dulac report, they limited out on speckled trout at Last Island. And then this week he's back over in Burris, and the Reds were happy to get in the boat this week, inviting you to come get you some. And we'll be getting another report from Ryan Lambert about Cajun fishing adventures a little bit later on. All right, Wingbone, our buddy over in Wilmer, Alabama, who is he's nicknamed Wingbone because he makes those excellent work of art Wingbone turkey calls. He says it's hot, fishing's been slow in the Mobile Delta. I was over there this week and didn't see a whole lot of boats crossing the causeway over there, headed from west shore to east shore. And I'm sure early mornings, late evenings, like a lot of places. Of course, the offshore fishing and the coastal fishing has been really good over there. A lot of red snapper being caught and other fish. And got the big Mobile Big Game Unlimited tournament going on this weekend. All right, we're hearing from the Steel Man. Steel Man, usually he's got a gang and they're headed out somewhere. Well, he says he's taking it easy in Madisonville today. Many whistling ducks on the lease in Gaydon last weekend. What is the best way to advocate for a dedicated season? It would be a tremendous recreational opportunity. Happy hunting. Well, Steel Man, I could not agree with you more. The whistling ducks, a lot of you know them as Mexican whistlers. You're seeing them more frequently and in greater numbers every year. And during the regular season, you can shoot them and add them into your regular bag limit. But most of those ducks are here mainly the ones that still migrate. Some have become resident ducks, but the ones that are migratory leave shortly after the teal season. So to incorporate Mexican whistlers into the teal season would be a wonderful thing. More opportunity, more ducks. And I know what the federal bureaucracy says. Well, you know, people are going to make mistakes. It's easier to identify a whistling duck from a model duck or a wood duck or any of the other ducks that happen to be around when teal season, when teal-only hunting's in force. And if you can identify teal from a wood duck, you can certainly identify a whistling duck. I don't know what the holdup is other than that the federal management programs move at a snail's pace. Maybe they're not even trying. I don't know. But to answer your question, the best way to try to get a dedicated season, I would start in two places. One, the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries, send them some information, some correspondence outlining why you would like to see it, why you think it's justified. I mean, we need all the waterfowl help we can get in Louisiana. Lord knows we've lost so much habitat, wetlands, short-stopping going on north of here with flooded corn, fewer birds coming, don't seem to have the colder winters that we used to get, and we're basically losing our renowned title of being one of the waterfowl capitals of the world. So having some whistling ducks to be able to add to the bag, I think, would be great. The other place I would say to advocate, your governor, Jeff Landry. He's a duck hunter. He would understand it. He controls Department of Wildlife and Fisheries, and I think if they got in touch with and held some meetings and made an argument for a season with the federal regulators, because ducks, because they are continental species, they're managed on a federal basis as well as a state basis. That would maybe have some impact. And hopefully one day we'll get to see it. It's obvious. Everybody knows it. It would be warranted, but it just doesn't happen, thanks to the federal bureaucracy. All right, I got a couple more. Red snapper, pan-seared, topped with a creamy crab meat sauce. Ooh, that would be great. All right, got a message from the Weave. He's going to work the flounder over. He stuck five last night. Oh, nice work, Weave. All right, we'll be back right after this, and we're going to contact Mitch Jurisich down at the Delta Marina. Find out how the offshore fishing's been. He's been working it out over there, fishing off his boat. Also talking to people at his marina, and also it's the site of this weekend's Empire South Pass Rodeo. Been around for a long time, and it's going on today. He'll update us after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, it's Red Snapper Day on the Outdoor Show, and glad to have you tuned in. If you've got a favorite recipe you'd like to share with us, or a fishing report, a comment, or a question, like the Steel Man talking about the whistling ducks, I'd love you to bring all that up. That's 504-260-1870. Keep that in your contact list, and it'll always be handy every Saturday morning when you want to chime in. All right, hopefully we're going to get to talk to Mitch Jurisich at Delta Marina. That's the site of today's Empire South Pass Fishing Rodeo. It's a major rodeo and been around for a long, long time, and I know he's got a busy place there. So if we can pull him away, we'll get a report, an update from him. Checking on our August schedule of Bayou Wild programming, this week, if you haven't seen it, we're running a feature called Flying Fish, and it deals with the Asian carp. We went out with some Department of Wildlife and Fishery personnel with their shocking boats and actually shocked some of the waters. And when you see the amount of and the size of these huge Asian silver carp that come flying out of there. And by the way, our friend Chef Philippe Parola, the author of Can't Beat 'Em, Eat 'Em, he was along, and we actually cooked some of those Asian carp. So if you get one, you know, that's the only fish in Louisiana that it's illegal to release. That's right. If you catch them, you're not supposed to release them. Even if you're not going to eat them, which they're delicious fish, bony, but if you can work around the bones, you got some excellent meat. I tell you, it's almost as good as a red snapper. You got something there. But anyway, that is a feature you can watch on Bayou Wild TV. And if you're not sure where that airs, we have a YouTube channel where you can watch it on your iPhone or your laptop, or your computer. And, of course, we're on a number of stations all across the Gulf Coast. And if you look at our website, BayouWildTV.com, you'll find listings of the time and the locations and the stations where we air. All right, next week, we'll be doing our Ride the Bull documentary. You know, Chris Holmes, our paddling reporter this morning, is going to talk more about the Ride the Bull. That's one of the biggest kayak tournaments in the nation. And it's Grand Isle, Caminata Pass, catch a lot of bull reds. And this year is going to be a special one for us because we're going to accompany the Recreational Fisheries Research Institute and document the first ever capture of redfish brood stock, bring them to the Ocean Springs, Mississippi fish hatchery, spawn those fish, and return them back to Louisiana waters as fingerlings. It's part of a Restock Louisiana with redfish. We call it the Redfish Revival. In fact, we'll season 13 in September, we'll hope to have that feature on for you. The documentary on Ride the Bull is going to be airing next week. The week after that, August the 15th, it begins our series on the Blue Boot Rodeo. A couple of LSU baseball players, catcher Alex Malazzo and third baseman Tommy Tank White, went on the Blue Boot Rodeo. It's a great cause, and they participated in it. And then the August 22nd, the fourth week of the month, Gators, Gar, and Big Frieda, oh my. If you're familiar with the character Big Frieda, you'll enjoy watching him catch a huge garfish with our friend Deadly Dudley. Very, very funny, humorous program. Hope you get to watch that one. And then we'll close out the month of August in season 13. We, in our Tigers in the Wild feature, where we take LSU athletes out on hunting and fishing excursions, defensive lineman Jacobian Guillory, big guy, came bow fishing with us with Mark Vogt in the Bayou Bow Fishing. And we had a pretty good night, and Jacobian was able to to Arrow, some nice big fish, and we captured it on video, and you get to see that on Tigers in the Wild episode on Bayou Wild TV. That'll be the week of August 29th. And then as we continue the September portion of Season 13, Burris Blue Wings. Guess who we will be shooting teal with? Our buddy, Captain Ryan Lambert. And you'll see that on the Labor Day weekend show. And then hopefully we'll have that Red Drum Revival program coming up where we document the first ever capture and breeding, spawning, and restocking redfish in Louisiana. And then on the 19th of September, you'll see camera-worthy craftsmanship. Some beautiful video shot by our own Chris Lecoq, and some gorgeous, breathtaking video of the outdoors in a way that a lot of people never get to see it. You can watch it right there on your TV screen. All right, so that's kind of the lineup for Season 13 for us, August and September. Of course, we've got programs coming down the pike for October, November, December. Each and every week, we take you for a great adventure into the wonderful world of the Bayou Outdoors. It's called Bayou Wild TV, and check it out on our website. You can check all of our features, the back issues, and we've got about 6 years of them now, all on file, and you can watch them and maybe just kind of veg out one weekend when it's hot and you got your air conditioner going and you want to watch a bunch of shows. Check it out, BayouWild.tv/YouTube. All right, coming back after this, we're going to head on down to Grand Isle. Boy, that was the site of the big tarpon rodeo. Daryl Carpenter's going to check it out for us and give us the latest information. I see they had a storm earlier. He'll give us the weather conditions and everything you know about fishing the biggest island in the state called Grand Isle, and he's here next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, let's talk to Captain Daryl Carpenter, get a fishing report. Daryl, I saw a post you made on Captain Martha Spencer. She was talking about she got to see two whale sharks, and you posted on there a story you retold about when you went from a captain to a tourist when you encountered whale sharks. And I think that story's worth telling if you can run through it pretty quickly, because I do want to get your fishing report too.
Well, it was one of those things, Don, that that was after Katrina, when everything was totally destroyed and you know, just torn up, and I felt like it was mentally, I felt like we needed to get back on the water. So it was 10 days after Katrina when we got back on the water, and the Gulf was littered with all kinds of stuff. But yeah, at one point, I mean, we were having trouble finding fish, and at one point we ran across some open water activity, and when we pulled up to it, it was tuna everywhere. And the tuna were surrounding six whale sharks. It was a school of six whale sharks. And just totally, I mean, that's when I went to a tourist. I mean, forget fishing. You know, deckhand was handling, catching a few tuna and stuff like that. And I'm standing on the bow of the boat looking straight down the gullet of a massive whale shark who's vertical in the water, just filtering and feeding. And it really was nice. And I don't know, I may have lost a customer, because after a while, the customer came up to me and said, "Captain, this is nice and everything, but we're supposed to be snapper fishing. Let's go." And I'm like, "Take a real good look at it, my man, because you'll never see this again in your life." And we had to leave. So
yeah, I didn't realize what an opportunity that was. But the whale shark, it's kind of a misnomer with the shark name. I mean, they're really not vicious like a shark. They're the complete opposite, actually.
Oh, no, they're gentle giants, man. They're not there to hurt anybody. They're playing, for the most part, they're plankton feeders. And like I said, just the ability or the opportunity to see one vertical in the water, and I mean, I'm telling you, the bow of my boat fit in his mouth, and he's just vertical in the water, and as the waves are coming, you can see the water going in and out his gullet. I mean, he was just sitting there feeding, and it was amazing, man. And then the others were all swimming around. We lost a ton of tackle because the tuna would run around them, and they were covered in barnacles, so it was cutting lines and everything else.
Yeah, magnificent creatures, the whale sharks, and if you get an opportunity, man, take some pictures if you have the opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah,
Daryl, let's get to the fishing currently. What's going on? How was the week down there on the island?
Oh, the week was great, Don. Now, look, I would say most people caught fish. And if wherever you stopped, you weren't catching fish or weren't catching keepers, you just had to move around. Sometimes you got to make two or three stops. Don, it's been so good that I can tell you I'm about to leave for what it would be my third consecutive trip where I don't even have my live well running. Plastic, those marker 54s, the matrix shad, the fish have been so thick and so hungry that you really don't even need live bait right now. you know, today might be a little bit of a challenge. I mean, as of this morning, we've got major squalls offshore. It's kicked the wind up here on the island, 15 or so miles an hour. The bay is, we just came across the bay to pick up customers. The bay's way too rough to even try to fish in. So everybody's going to be concentrated on the beach. But the good story is that yesterday, everybody that fished the beach was done by 7:30, 8 o'clock. So there's plenty of fish on the beach. A lot of smalls have moved in. It's not those 19, 20-inch, you know, beach fish. There'll be some of those mixed in. What we caught yesterday was all full of eggs, so we still got active spawning going on. So, I mean, it's a beautiful, pretty day. If you're not catching fish, you just need to stick and move and just change tactics a little bit because the fish are there.
Yeah, Darrell, those storms popped up around, I don't know, it was on a little bit before 4 o'clock, and it looked like they had a tendency to continue to move offshore, but then they kind of stopped, slowed down, and they're just hovering right there off the coast of Grand Isle. So hopefully they'll rain themselves out, and later in the day it'll be much nicer.
Yeah, I noticed the last time I looked at the radar just before I went home, which I noticed that it's backfilling a little bit toward the coast, and now it's getting daylight, we're able to see it. The good thing is, Don, hopefully it's going to block that easy bake oven, and we'll be fishing in the shade all day like it's been most of the week.
Yeah, I spend some time in that easy bake oven, too. And any kind of time you get cloud cover, a little rain or something to knock down a few degrees, it's certainly welcome. Well, Darrell, thanks for the report, as always. Somebody wants to get a hold of you, and I can't guarantee them you'll see take them to see a whale shark, but they will have a good time. Tell them how to get a hold of you.
Nah, those days are days past, unless I'm passenger somewhere. They can find me on your website at DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. They can find me on mine at RealScreamers.com. Or just pick up the phone, 225-937-6288.
All right, Darrell, thanks as always. Appreciate it, and especially thanks for that whale shark story. Made my day this week.
Thank you, sir. All right.
Darrell Carpenter, RealScreamers.com is the name of his operation, and he's out of the Grand Isle area, fishes Fouchon to the west, and sometimes will head towards Lafitte to the east, wherever he's got to go to find the fish for you. All right, when we come back after the break, we're going to get to some more of your red snapper recipes. I think I got a couple other ones out here. Oh, here's one that from the Colonel, one of our regular listeners, the Colonel from Hammond. I was talking about not releasing those Asian carp because they're invasive species. The Colonel says don't forget about the Rio Grande cichlid. The you know, a lot of people call them, Mexican perch? There's a name for them, another name, the Rio Grande perch, I guess. They are in New Orleans and City Park and a lot of other areas. It's another invasive that's kind of putting the pressure on our bluegills and other brim. He says don't release them back either. They're invasive aquarium fish that got loose. But he says they do fry up good, too, so be safe out there. All right, thanks for the text message. We appreciate it. Looking for those red snapper recipes? It's Red Snapper Day on the Outdoor Show. Have you been? Have you caught any? You got a favorite recipe to share with our listeners? We'd love to hear from you. 504-260-1870. We're back with hour number two right after these on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And welcome into Red Snapper Day here in Louisiana. We are celebrating the red snapper and asking for your favorite red snapper recipes. I'm going to be fishing snapper tomorrow out of Sycamore Point. Our Bayou Wild TV team will be joined by a couple of LSU gymnasts for a Tigers in the Wild feature, Sierra Ballard and Ashley Cowan. You'll see them on a future Tigers in the Wild episode that'll be airing probably sometime next month. Our Bad Boy, the Outdoor feature coming up in just a few minutes, is the Red Snapper Napper from Abbeville, Louisiana. He got caught breaking the law on the red snapper, although he didn't get nearly enough to shut our quota down, but he got definitely over his limit. We'll tell you that story. And, of course, we updated you that we're about probably somewhere around 75 to 80% of our quota that's been allocated for Louisiana. And when they estimate that will be reached, it will be shut down. So we got a lot more to talk about. We got fishing reports coming up momentarily from the guy born on the bayou, Captain Mike Gallo. Chris Holmes is going to be filling in for Eric Mohabarak today on the Paddler's Report. And, of course, the guy we call the Plastic Man downriver, Ryan Lambert. Last week we talked to him from a rodeo up in Wyoming. He's close to a rodeo down home. The Empire South Pass Rodeo is going on this weekend down at Delta Marina. Hopefully we'll maybe get a talk to Mitch Jurasich. I know he's been doing some offshore fishing, and I wanted particularly to get a report on the Mai Mai, the dolphin situation. My co-host on Bayou Wild, Captain Martha Spencer, who is running offshore charters, posted some pictures of just some really nice catches of some of those dolphin, those Mai Mai. And that is another excellent fish. And when you find them along those Sargasso grass lines and where the tidal changes are, the current and rip lines out there in the Gulf, boy, there is no faster, hotter, and heavier action than those Mai Mai, also known as the dolphin. In fact, there's probably some opportunity in the CCA Star Tournament to get on the board for that Mai Mai category. And, you know, although I didn't see it listed on there, I'm thinking maybe they don't have that this year, and they changed it. I know they got the mangrove snapper, the red snapper of the offshore. They've got the lemonfish or cobia, and, you know, some of the other bigger species. But maybe they don't have the Mai Mai, because that was the one I won a third place in the one of the very first Star tournaments, and it was on a Mai Mai that I had caught. And waded in down at the Venice Marina. Anyway, if you've got something to add to the program, we'd love to hear from you. Again, it's 504-260-1870. I got this one in. We were talking about whistling ducks. Hopefully we can get those added into maybe an early teal season, because a lot of them are gone when our regular duck season's open. Greg checking in. He says they're still nesting through September. He sees them with the baby ducks during teal season. And he's got a pair that nest in his yard in the wood duck boxes throughout the summer months. You know, strangely enough, I think it was my last fishing trip with Mike Gallo, maybe the one second to last. We were in Lake Pontchartrain, open water, a couple of miles offshore. And here was a mother whistling duck with a bunch of little ducklings following her in the middle of Lake Pontchartrain. And I got to think, I don't know how many of them survived. But there's some critters swimming around out there that in one gulp could take down a baby duck. Not a good place, and I guess they're not real wise parents, I guess we might want to say, or mothers, where they hatch their ducks and where they bring them, because it's several days before they can actually fly. But Lake Pontchartrain on that railroad trestle bridge, for some reason, they like to perch up there. I mean, they're everywhere. I get reports from all over, and there's more and more of them showing up. All right, here's another text, public service announcement. The Float Fest is happening today. Four bands went on a barge with estimated 200 boats tied up on the sandbar in East Lake Pontchartrain. Good time to be had, but avoid that area if you aren't into that thing. Thanks. That's from the Colonel over in Hammond. Yeah, some people love that, and they go, and other people say, oh, I want to stay away from that. All right, that's your choice. We'll be right back after this with Captain Mike Gallo. Get a fishing report on Lakes Pontchartrain, Lake Bourne, Lake Catherine, the North Biloxi Marsh, the Ship Channel. Have boat, we'll travel. He's got fishing info for you next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And our Born on the Bayou report is a presentation of CETO. You know them. Some people call them AAA on the water. You call them, you radio them when you're in need, whether you need a tow, whether you need a jump start for electrical problem, maybe you ran out of fuel, they'll bring it to you, whatever it takes to get you back to the dock and get you back fishing safely. They are there to do it. It makes a great gift, or you can get it for yourself. It's only $249. That's for an entire year, and it is renewable. And if you think that's not a good price, call the Coast Guard and find out what the cost is if you have to pay. Or even CETO if you're not a member and you have to pay them for a tow-in, and you will be amazed. All right, Captain Mike Gallo joins us now. And, Captain Mike, how's the fishing been besides hot this week?
I tell you what, Don, I was listening to you talk about our friends over at CETO just now, and I had two clients this week have problems with the heat, had heat exhaustion. And, you know, if you had a breakdown and you're stuck in that heat, that could become dangerous really fast. So CETO could be a lifesaver.
Absolutely. I'm sure that they probably have, in some instances, even saved lives, either because of the cold in hypothermic conditions, or like you say, heat exhaustion is very common. People don't stay hydrated, they don't bring the ice, and they're just not used to being out there, and they can get in trouble in a hurry. And if you got trouble with the boat, those two things is really a bad combination. Always great to have a CETO guy waiting to come get you. Well, Mike, how was the fishing this week?
Well done. I was listening to Robbie Campo earlier, and Robbie certainly tells it like it is. Lots and lots of 12.5 to 12 3/4 inch trout. Just not a problem to go catch 300 a day, and you may weed through and catch 30 keeper trout. If you choose to fish, and you could do that with plastics under a cork. If you choose to fish bait, there's plenty of white trout in the deeper passes in the local area, Unknown Pass, Catherine Pass, Wrigley's Pass, those deeper areas with some live or even dead bait down on the bottom will put you a fair amount of white trout in the box. The red fishing has been, I would say, a little on the slow side. Your window of opportunity is fairly small because the water temperatures are really on the high side, mid to upper 80s. They'll bite first thing in the morning, maybe till 10:30 or so, and then it's hot and they seem to disappear. If you do see them, they certainly don't want to feed. I hear we're supposed to have some rain this afternoon. That's going to be a welcome, hopefully bring our water temperatures down some and get our fish to feeding a little bit better.
Yeah, that rain is a pretty solid thing. I think that was the 50% forecast. It's going to be low chance earlier in the day, but there's going to be some pretty heavy stuff coming in later this evening along the coast. Mike, you mentioned those white trout. You know, and you don't have to worry about measuring size, keeping count on them. What is the general consensus on your clients? You know, speckled trout are kind of a glamorous fish. If they're catching 12.5 or smaller trout and they have to release them, or they're given the option to go and get a bunch of white trout, what do they usually go for?
It seems to depend where you're from. And I know you know what I'm going to say.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
If they're from Louisiana or the southern part of Louisiana, they certainly prefer speckled trout. If they're from anywhere else, they don't mind the white trout at all. And the white trout are really good fish as long as you take care of them properly. Have a ice and water mixture, a nice slurry, and put those fish in there immediately. Get them as cold as possible. And when you clean them, throw those fillets right back into an ice water slurry, and they'll be fine. Those are good fish.
Mike, everybody is familiar with slow down your roll when you're fishing in the wintertime and it gets cold. Sometimes you just kind of dead stick it. You don't even move that bait because you'll feel that little tap, tap. Conversely, when the water is hot, and we've got some water temperatures now approaching 90 degrees, other than going deep and moving water, what other technique would you recommend for catching fish successfully when the water's real hot?
We fished all popping corks this week. The Four Horsemen style corks with those real big beads on them, and they make a lot of noise. So, you know, you look at your cork when you throw it out, but you're really fishing an area 20 feet on either side of the cork. So when you pop that cork and make that good sound, those fish are going to come to you. You're fishing a much bigger area. So you are fishing a little bit faster or maybe a little bit louder so that the fish can find you. But there's been plenty of fish. They just hadn't grown that extra, you know, half inch or quarter of an inch even for quite a few of them.
Yep, and it's worthwhile mentioning when you get into those fish like that, take real good care of them when you're releasing them. Do everything you can to make sure they're live released. And you went out with us and CCA, and we're going to be having a campaign coming on Bayou Wild TV demonstrating some of them tips, because that's our fish of the future.
That's right. I've been educating my clientele. You know, a lot of them are repeat customers, and they say, last year we could have kept this fish. I say, that's correct. But this year we let him go, and it gets a chance to lay eggs for that extra half inch in length. Might be two or three more spawning cycles for that fish. And that could be hundreds of thousands more fry in the water, long as we release them safely.
Yep, you can tell them, give me a deposit, and you come back and catch that fish next year, you can keep him.
That's right.
Mike, if somebody does want to book one of those trips with you, you're on my site, DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com, AAofLA.com. That's direct to you. Give them that telephone number if they want to call and check dates.
Very simple. You can reach me at 985-781-7811.
All right. And he's also got the spots in Dodge Lodge if you want to stay overnight, if you're from out of town. Beautiful place. I highly recommend it. Mike, thanks for the report. As always, stay cool, and see you next week.
Thank you, Don. We'll talk to you then.
And Captain Mike Gallo, there he goes. Coming up next, we have a guest reporter for our Paddler's Report. That would be one Chris Holmes, very experienced kayak fisherman. He's got the info for you next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And that is our lead-in theme for the Paddler's Report with the Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club and a presentation of Massey Outfitters. You know them, three locations, Mid-City New Orleans, Baton Rouge, North Shore on Covington. Got all those best fishing models and also tons and tons of products and accessories. But one of the things that really separates them apart from other kayak dealers is their demo days, and they've got one going on today. And joining us to talk more about it is a pinch hitter for our reporters, Chris Holmes, an accomplished kayaker himself. Hey, Chris, good morning.
Good morning, Don.
Chris, talk about Massey's demo day. I think they changed the time to accommodate the heat, correct?
They did. Good advice for fishing and demo days. They moved it up 8 a.m. It's going to start this morning, end at noon in Bayou St. John, right by City Park, across in the bayou, right across from Deutsch's house. Plenty of parking along the street right there. Easy launch. We've got the kayaks up there where people can walk out. They just got to sign a waiver, put on a PFD, and step in and get to experience it right there. You know, guaranteed calm water, a little instruction if you need it. And it's a great chance to sample several different styles and models of kayaks.
Yeah, and for those who use GPS, it's 1700 Moss, and that's easy to remember, Moss Street, New Orleans, and that'll take you right there. It's easy to find. 8 to noon, about an hour and a half, it'll be getting underway, and you can try before you buy. Chris, what's your favorite kayak model?
My Hobie Outback is probably my all-time favorite. I've got models going back to about 2015, 2012, and it's just, it's changed, you know, shape and style and accessories over the years, but it's just one of the most versatile boats, inshore, offshore, freshwater, saltwater. It can do it all.
You know, Chris, today we've designated as Red Snapper Day on the show, and certainly red snappers can be caught from kayaks. In Louisiana, it's a little problematic because it's a pretty good hike to get to deep enough water to catch snapper, but you do some fishing along the Alabama-Florida coast, and from there, it's very doable. Tell us about some places you might be able to take your kayak out and catch some red snapper.
Navarre, Pensacola, all those areas. You know, the further east you go, green, you know, bluer the water gets and cleaner the water gets, so it's a little bit better. I prefer Navarre. Navarre, their county has a great program. They've put several hundred reef balls and rubble and bridge rubble and stuff out there with particular kayakers in mind. And the reason it's so popular in area, oh, and they also put a dedicated ramp to be able to roll your kayaks up across that sand and get into the Gulf.
Wow, I love that.
The thing about that area is you got to remember you've got Pensacola Pass, and then the next pass into the Gulf is Destin for the boats. Mm. So you're kind of smack in the middle right there where these guys would have to come out the pass with their boats run 10, 15 miles parallel, you know, and they don't like to do that. They want to get out and head for deeper waters and stuff. So that's what makes it in particular such a great kayaking area. I mean, obviously snapper, but trolling for king mackerel, you know, all kind of other, you know, reef fish, bottom fish. Sailfish. You know, we've had a couple caught already this year from the kayakers over there.
Yeah, it's great to go over there, and you get into that deeper water that holds all those different species of offshore fish. Great way to do it. I wouldn't suggest it this weekend because they're going to have a little weather issue coming up over there.
But
outside of that, they don't have oil rigs, so they put down reef balls and artificial reefs to attract the fish, which is wonderful. How about a little bit of a local report? I know fishing's tough. It's hot, particularly if you're paddling a kayak. You can work up a sweat real quick. Maybe give us one spot where you might suggest the greatest amount of success that's not too far of a pedal or a paddle.
You know, we've still been catching a few fish in Delacroix and in Shell Beach. You know, one of the things about Shell Beach particularly, you got access to deeper water. You got the ship channel right there. You've got Bayou Iklowski. You got Lake Bourne, you know, on the right days and stuff. And you got some grass cover. You know, the grass didn't come back this year like it had before. But if you can find some of that grass on the edges of those deep water and fish those troughs, get down, you find a little bit cooler water, because it is definitely in the 90s, you know, for the water. So, again, with the rain was knocking it down, keeping everybody out. But, yeah, and the same advice, you know, some of the other guests were sharing is get out early, and even more important in the kayak, because you got the physical aspect to it. You know, you're not just riding, and you can't start up the motor and let's take a ride and cool off a little bit. It doesn't work that way.
Exactly. Chris, thanks for a great job filling in for Eric. We really appreciate it.
No problem. And I know you mentioned it, but just remind everybody about Ride the Bull coming up. We're well over a couple hundred already signed up and always growing.
Easiest way to sign up?
Go to the CCA website. You can look them up. Ride the Bull has a Facebook page also.
All right. Hopefully they'll catch some of those big bulls, and we can – actually, the RFRI's got a permit to keep them. You know, strictly catch and release now. But those will be some brood stock for some fish that will be released later on. And
that's
back in
perfect. An added bonus.
Yes, indeed. Thanks again, Chris. Hope to see you soon.
Bye, friend. Don. Have a good day.
All right. Chris Holmes filling in for Eric Mahabarak with our Paddler's Report. All right. You know what's next. It's Bad Boy, the Outdoors time, and, of course – today being Red Snapper Day, designated on the show, we got a case of a Red Snapper Napper. Next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, taking a look at our text message board, the Jason and the crew at Corey's Barbershop in Covington, up and listening. Glad to have y'all with us. Okay, the worm is weighing in on the whistling ducks. He said he heard the whistling ducks found out we have open borders. Well, if that's the case, that might be the only good thing Brandon has done for us. All right, here's one. Says the whistlers live in the Chalmette refinery in the pipes. Yeah, you know, studying wildlife is my whole life. It's interesting to see how they behave. You know, wild animals, wild ducks, don't do the same thing as ducks that are not hunted. And whistlers, because they enjoy protection during the early times when they're here, like during teal season in the summers, they become very docile and do things that wild animals would never do. All right, the Lafayette Yacker says he missed raccoon feet. Eric Mohabarak, that's his nickname. But Chris, he was waiting for Chris to give us some good info, which he certainly did. And here's one from a Lafayette area listener. Increasing minimum length and decreasing limits on fish is like raising taxes. They never go back to where they were. Well, I got to tell you, that's generally the case. I agree with you. But look at our red snapper. We were down to one fish, two fish, closed seasons. And because of good management practices, now we've got we started with a 7-day-a-week season. Now it's 3-day-a-week. Limit is 4, minimum is 16 inches. So the snapper did make a comeback, and they did increase the limits. Of course, not to where it was at one time, and that's probably never going to happen. But in most cases, I agree with you. Once they cut the size and the limits, it generally does not go back. And here's a question. Do you think Department of Wildlife and Fisheries should not let foxes run wild in Baton Rouge and other areas? I don't know how they would control that. Foxes don't seem to be as harmful as coyotes. Very secretive. They don't really pack up and attack pets and that type of thing. But certainly if they become problematic in urban areas like in Baton Rouge, they do have removal teams that can do that and put wildlife, catching them and release them and areas that are better suited for them. All right, we got some more texts coming in. We'll get to those later, but right now I'm going to pause a quick 10 seconds because on the other side, on this Red Snapper Day, we got a bad boy story, a Red Snapper kidnapper. He's next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Well, on Tuesday, July 20th, Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fishery Enforcement Agents Corporal Michael Treadway and Lieutenant Bo Robertson received an anonymous tip, which starts so many of these stories, concerned citizens calling or texting in the tip line. This one was about an offshore boat coming into Vermilion Pass, dropping off several bags of red snapper on the bank and leaving. The agents responded to where the red snapper were dropped, set up surveillance on the area, and later observed Viet Nguyen get out of a vehicle, make a beeline straight for the snapper on the bank. The agents then made contact with Nguyen after he retrieved the red snapper and was walking back to the vehicle. The agents found Nguyen in possession of 24 gutted red snapper and 9 sets of red snapper fillets, which put him 29 over his legal limit. Of the 33 total, 29 of them were under the 16-inch minimum size. The agents seized the red snapper, donated them to a local charity, which I'm sure was delighted to have them. If convicted of undersized and over limit of red snapper, intentional concealment, filleting fish on the water, paying back civil restitution, facing up to 120 days in jail, and total fines in the amount of $2,918 is 63-year-old Viet Nguyen of Abbeville, Louisiana, our bad boy of the outdoors. Hey, never end, folks. It never ends. That feature will be on as long as I am. It'll never go away because there's always going to be bad boys and girls. All right, here's some more text messages coming in. Without freshwater diversions, fish and brown shrimp need a place to spawn. Plaquemines Parish, they can't live in Gulf water. When will people find this out? Jeff from Arpaugh says, maybe a dumb question, but there's any way to tell male from female redfish? It's not a dumb question. The only way I know is you can't tell by looking at them alive. They have to be opened up, and you can tell by the organs inside whether it's a male or female. Other than that, I don't know any other way. I've heard some jokes about how you can tell, but that's not for now. All right, here's one says, before they blocked off the river, the fish were so plentiful you could load a boat. Limits won't do it. And that's from our text at 2553. All right, we got a break coming up, and we take that, and then when we come back on the backside, the guy we call the Plastic Man, we'll find out where the heck he is. We ought to change the name of that feature to Where in the World is Ryan Lambert? We'll find out next and get some good fishing info after this time out on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And the Plastic Man is getting the boat ready for a day on the water, and we'll find out where he's headed and what he's going to try to catch, and maybe you can take some of that information to heart and put it to your own use. Captain Ryan, good morning. Where are you going?
Good morning, buddy. Today, again, it's going to be mangroves, snappers, triple-tails, and cobias.
Ooh, I love to hear that. How far out you got to go?
Last 2 days, that's what I did.
You're becoming an offshore captain.
Near shore captain. I don't ever let it lose the sight of land.
Are now you using those stinky old pogies or squid to catch them, or are you going plastic?
Pogies. I stopped through the net twice and filled both live wells up.
Yeah, that's great.
So,
yeah,
there's so many pogies, that's unbelievable. And I had to pass a lot of trout to go, too, because the trout were burning the birds up, and my guys wanted to go out there. I said, oh, look at the trout, guys. So I called the other guys, and they went and whacked them.
Yeah.
That's a good thing about having 12 guides, huh?
Absolutely. Well, triple tail and lemon fish, that ain't bad at all. What size are those triple tail?
We're going after that today. I haven't gone after. Somebody had a 33 yesterday.
Woo, that's a monster.
That's a big, big, big old triple tail. If I could catch five of them, that's plenty enough. I don't want to kill too many of them.
Now, how are they catching them? Are y'all fishing some structure floating stuff out there that they're hanging
out? Yeah, we'll fish whatever we can find. You know, even if I go by a line or lilies in the water, when I pass everything, I'm looking to see if they're there. And I'll go that. But I had a limit of mangroves day before yesterday and turned back 15 snappers. And then yesterday we caught a limit of snappers and about, I guess, 15 mangroves and three cobias. So it's been real good.
Yeah, that's definitely good.
I had a big northwest on the east side, so the guys on the east side didn't do well. Uh-huh. But the west side was calm. So, you know, it's good to be like we are.
Right. 12 guides and two sides of a river with a levee in the middle that you can, you know, pick the side you want to fish on. You know, the mangrove snapper is a real finicky fish. How are y'all fishing them?
Yeah. Well, I started off with a jig head because it was all in about 15 foot of water, just 15 to 20. And, you know, I look at them on the depth finder, and I would put a jig head down to get it down that way. Then once they get finicky, and, you know, once the sun comes up good and they get finicky, I put a number one hook, a little bitty hook with a split shot above it, and I put that hook all up in that pogey's mouth and just come out the top of his head to where they can't see it. And I just drift it down there, whang.
So, now, you fishing on a rig structure or just a reef? Or
yeah, rigs for mangroves.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
and the red snappers, too. And I'm only in, you know, I'm shallow, comparatively speaking, where I know a lot of people caught me in 450 foot of water yesterday, but I'm shallow. I'm 50 foot of water.
Yeah, well, that's good. And, you know, the thing about it is you can't go under gun for snapper because that is a powerful fish. And once they feel that hook, they head straight for that rig to wrap you up and break you off.
You can get under gun really quick. They're so powerful. Oh, my gosh. And then the sharks, there's so many sharks. You know, we caught a bunch of sharks yesterday. And But, yeah, it's just fun. They kept me out too long. I'm old. They don't know that he's wearing me out.
Yeah,
the day, and they kept saying, one more. I said, one more, I'm going to be dead.
Oh, yeah, sound like y'all having fun down there. Well, yeah, listen, I've been taking
storms on the west today.
Yeah, and later this evening, so y'all need to get it done and get on in. You know, you got a great recipe called Redfish Ryan, which I've enjoyed down at the Cajun Fishing Lodge. Do you think that would work with red snapper? What do you do with snapper, either mangroves or
without
red
snapper? Without a doubt. Well, I like either to crush the snapper and cook it down and just, you know, pan fry it like that. With really, not even pan fry, just a little olive oil and butter. Or I like to maniere it, where I take it and just dredge it in flour real quick, just dry. Then I'll put it in olive oil and butter, just enough to get the bottom of the pan going. And then I'll brown it on one side. Then once I flip it over, I hit it with the Tony's, lemon and pepper, and granulated garlic, and then a Worcestershire sauce. A good bit amount of Worcestershire sauce, more than you would think. Uh-huh. You put it last because it starts getting burnt and blackened up real quick. But after that, just turn it over, put it in your plate, and oh, my word.
Yeah.
I do trout like that. I do snappers like that. And that's what we're going to do tonight, actually. And you know what? I did shrimp like that last week for some folks. You would not believe we get some big 10-15s in maniere them. Oh, it feels so good.
Yeah, you guys really struggle down
there. Now you see why I'm so fat, huh?
Oh, man, y'all eat like Spartans there. You know, you just don't have any good food down there, you know?
We're so fortunate to be where we are and doing what we want, man. I tell you what.
Absolutely.
We have been blessed in our world, I'll tell you.
Yeah. Well, you should be spotting some teal sometime soon, too, now. Early scouts ought to be down there.
Yep, that, and I got to start building blinds and getting ready for that.
Yep.
No rest for the weary, my friend.
I know what you mean.
I'm going to Noliasi next week or the week after, on the 15th. I'm going down there and get my eye right on some white wings.
All right.
Make sure I can hit them when they come.
Yeah, I think you can. I think you'll remember. You didn't forget how to lead them. Oh, by the way, I wanted to ask you, do you use that Carlson tube joke on the doves too, or just the ducks?
I try to use the two on the doves.
Mm-hmm.
So Rob Roberts T2.
Right.
And it works good. But that T3, and now they got another one, a Raptor, I think. I haven't used it yet, but if it gets tighter than the T3, it's not even fair anymore.
Yeah. Well, since I got that Rob Roberts joke, it certainly improved that little Beretta I got, on the ducks. And I'm thinking I'm going to go with it for the doves, too, because I just don't think when you get out there, you know, 40, 50 yards with those regular chokes, they just don't have enough BBs.
Oh, no.
They're too
spread.
But
you get out there with that T3, you can hit a duck at 60 yards, no problem. I mean, if you can hit. But, that T2 is really good, too, and I'll be throwing that around for doves. Yep. I'll take it with me.
All right, well, I got something else I need to talk to you off air. I'll call you later when you get back in this evening.
Okay, sounds great.
All right, take it easy. Captain Ryan Lambert, check him out at Cajun Fishing Adventures, and he's always available on the cell phone at 504-559-5111. All right, coming back after this, it's time to wrap it up. Red Snapper Day on the Outdoor Show. We've got time for a last-minute text with some recipes or reports. We'd love to have you checking in with us. It's 504-260-187. All right, kind of wrapping up our Red Snapper program this morning, and thanks for all of you who participated. We did get that question on the distinguishing male redfish from female, and I got a texter reminded me that the male drum, both the red and the black drum, croakers, trout, which are actually members of the drum family, it surprises a lot of people, speckled and white, the male do make a drumming sound that the females don't do. So if you hear them grunting or drumming, then yes, that would be a male fish. Also, during the spawning season, a lot of times when you first bring a male fish into the boat, it will eject sperm out, just kind of a reaction. And that way, the females, of course, obviously don't do that. So that's another way you can tell. But I'm not really sure why it would be important to distinguish a male from a female when it comes to those species. All right, anyway, I got some more. One says, oil and gas platforms. Why do you call them rigs? Well, it's just a synonym. It's another name for a oil or gas platform. It's a structure, and they're called rigs by some people and sometimes platforms, but then it's interchangeable. If you hear somebody mention a platform or a rig, it's basically the same thing. All right, here's one, Don. How do you feel about diversion? Freshwater diversion. How many hours do you have? It's not a simple topic, but I'll try to give you a simple answer. Just like I talked about when you go fishing, when you go to war, bring all your weapons. I believe all the weapons against diversion are needed, which would be rocks, dredging and filling, freshwater diversion to provide nutrients as a maintenance. But most of all, it takes money, and I don't see it. We're going to be running out of BP funds before most of the diversion projects that are planned are completed. I don't think the rest of the country, although they feel sorry for us, I don't think they want to put up their tax money. I think the oil and gas revenues, which are Gomesa money, which is put into combating coastal erosion, the rest of the states want to take that money when we bear the brunt of the oil and gas industry, the damage that it does to the coastline. Basically, I'm a realist, I'm a pragmatic, and I don't believe we're going to save the coast. I think it's too little, too late. Certainly, if there were enough money, yeah, look what they did in Dubai. It would be possible, but I don't see it happening. I think we're going to lose more land eventually than we construct. There's also some other factors, mitigating factors, subsidence, where it's not only being eroded, it's sinking. It's being saltwater intrusion, which is eating away at the coast. I think we're fighting a losing battle, but I think the fight is probably worth doing. There's a lot of money being spent, and there's a good argument that maybe relocation would be a better use of the money than trying to save the coast. But it's a sad situation, it is. But again, taking a realistic approach to it. But that's basically in a nutshell. But, I mean, it's a very complicated subject, and we could talk for hours and hours about it. All right, here's one. It says, Don, enjoyed your substitution talk show this past week. I can remember when you did that as a Friday weekly for Garland Robinette. Yeah, going back, I did it for Bob Del Giorno, too. In fact, you're going to hear me on our flagship station. I am going to be guest hosting the Morning Drive show, the Tommy Tucker show, on our flagship station, WWL AM and FM 105.3, next Tuesday through Friday. And the guy that's pushing all the control buttons right now, Cullen Steele, he's going to be with me. We're going to be working as a team from Tuesday to Friday next week, and then the following Monday I'll be on from 6 to 10 a.m. Sorry, don't expect a lot of outdoor talk like we do on Saturday mornings. There will be political talk. There'll be some social issues brought up. Whatever happens to break on a Morning Drive show, we'll be talking about it. So hope you'll tune in, participate. The phone lines will be open for you. Text line will be open, too, and I hope you do that. Next week on this show, I'm going to try to get her. Hopefully I can get her. Julie Grunwald, girl, a lady that does just a fantastic job with the Louisiana Hunters for the Hungry. We got Clean Out Your Freezer Day coming up, and it's not only a Clean Out Your Day, it goes on for a couple of weeks. It starts around the earliest collection site in Louisiana, I think is the 12th, which is a Monday, and it goes through later into the month. I'll be manning one in Slidell at the Rouses on Gauze Boulevard from 1 to 4 on Sunday, the August the 18th. And hopefully you'll come by, say hello, bring me some wild game of any type. They take ducks, they take deer, venison. Now they can accept hogs. Hopefully it'll be processed and wrapped with a date on it. If you've had sausage made and your freezer's still full or half full and you say, man, I'm getting ready to do some fall fishing and the hunting season's coming up, I got to make some room in this freezer. There's no better way to clean out your freezer than by donating it to Hunters for the Hungry. They serve it at food banks all across the state. There's a dire need, and as the economy gets tighter and tighter, there's more and more people need assistance, a lot of times through no fault of their own. They're going through some tough times, and it's certainly welcome when they hold some of these events where they distribute the food to them or to the food banks, which in turn cooks it and serves up some wonderful wild game and seafood dishes. So if you can spare it, and a lot of people, they just come to the store. You can walk in Rouse's, go to the meat counter, pick something up, and come out and drop it off. We'll have ice chests out there. We're going to have some caps and fishing towels and some giveaway stuff from Hunters from the Hungry, and we'll talk more about it. If you want to find out where there's one near you, go to cleanoutyourfreezerday.com. You'll find all the details right there. All right, hope you enjoyed today's show, and we love having you here. We invite you to come on back again next week. We do it every Saturday morning, 5 to 7 a.m., 52 weeks a year. We're starting our 36th year of this program called The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, taking a look at our text message board, the Jason and the crew at Corey's Barbershop in Covington, up and listening. Glad to have y'all with us. Okay, the worm is weighing in on the whistling ducks. He said he heard the whistling ducks found out we have open borders. Well, if that's the case, that might be the only good thing Brandon has done for us. All right, here's one that says the whistlers live in the Chalmette refinery in the pipes. Yeah, you know, studying wildlife is my whole life. It's interesting to see how they behave. You know, wild animals, wild ducks, don't do the same thing as ducks that are not hunted. And whistlers, because they enjoy protection during the early times when they're here, like during teal season in the summers, they become very docile and do things that wild animals would never do. All right, the Lafayette Yacker says he missed raccoon feet. Eric Mohabarak, that's his nickname. But Chris, he was waiting for Chris to give us some good info, which he certainly did. And here's one from a Lafayette area listener. Increasing minimum length and decreasing limits on fish is like raising taxes. They never go back to where they were. Well, I got to tell you, that's generally the case. I agree with you. But look at our red snapper. We were down to one fish, two fish, closed seasons. And because of good management practices, now we've got we started with a 7-day-a-week season. Now it's 3-day-a-week. Limit is 4, minimum is 16 inches. So the snapper did make a comeback, and they did increase the limits, of course, not to where it was at one time. And that's probably never going to happen. But in most cases, I agree with you. Once they cut the size and the limits, it generally does not go back. And here's a question. Do you think Department of Wildlife and Fisheries should not let foxes run wild in Baton Rouge and other areas? I don't know how they would control that. Foxes don't seem to be as harmful as coyotes. Very secretive. They don't really pack up and attack pets and that type of thing. But certainly if they become problematic in urban areas like in Baton Rouge, they do have removal teams that can do that and put wildlife, catching them and release them and areas that are better suited for them. All right, we got some more texts coming in. We'll get to those later, but right now I'm going to pause a quick 10 seconds because on the other side on this Red Snapper Day, we got a bad boy story, a Red Snapper kidnapper. He's next on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Well, on Tuesday, July 20th, Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fishery Enforcement Agents Corporal Michael Treadway and Lieutenant Bo Robertson received an anonymous tip, which starts so many of these stories, concerned citizens calling or texting in the tip line. This one was about an offshore boat coming into Vermilion Pass, dropping off several bags of red snapper on the bank and leaving. The agents responded to where the red snapper were dropped, set up surveillance on the area, and later observed Viet Nguyen get out of a vehicle, make a beeline straight for the snapper on the bank. The agents then made contact with Nguyen after he retrieved the red snapper and was walking back to the vehicle. The agents found Nguyen in possession of 24 gutted red snapper and 9 sets of red snapper fillets, which put him 29 over his legal limit. Of the 33 total, 29 of them were under the 16-inch minimum size. The agents seized the red snapper, donated them to a local charity, which I'm sure was delighted to have them. If convicted of undersized and overlimit of red snapper, intentional concealment, filleting fish on the water, paying back civil restitution, facing up to 120 days in jail, and total fines in the amount of $2,918, is 63-year-old Viet Nguyen of Abbeville, Louisiana, our bad boy of the outdoors. Hey, never end, folks. It never ends. That feature will be on as long as I am. It'll never go away because there's always going to be bad boys and girls. All right, here's some more text messages coming in. Without freshwater diversions, fish and brown shrimp need a place to spawn. Plaquemines Parish, they can't live in Gulf water. When will people find this out? Jeff from Arpaugh says, maybe a dumb question, but there's any way to tell male from female redfish? It's not a dumb question. The only way I know is you can't tell by looking at them alive. They have to be opened up, and you can tell by the organs inside whether it's a male or female. Other than that, I don't know any other way. I've heard some jokes about how you can tell, but that's not for now. All right, here's one says, before they blocked off the river, the fish was so plentiful you could load a boat. limits won't do it. And that's from our text at 2553. All right, we got a break coming up, and we take that, and then when we come back on the backside, the guy we call the Plastic Man, we'll find out where the heck he is. We ought to change the name of that feature to Where in the World is Ryan Lambert? We'll find out next and get some good fishing info after this time out on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And the Plastic Man is getting the boat ready for a day on the water, and we'll find out where he's headed and what he's going to try to catch, and maybe you can take some of that information to heart and put it to your own use. Captain Ryan, good morning. Where are you going?
Good morning, buddy. Today, again, it's going to be mangroves, snappers, triple tails, and cobias.
Ooh, I love to hear that. How far out you got to go?
Last 2 days, that's what I did.
You becoming an offshore captain.
Near shore captain. I don't ever let it lose the sight of land.
Are now you using those stinky old pogies or squid to catch them, or are you going plastic?
Pogies. I stopped through the net twice and filled both live wells up.
Yeah, that's great.
So,
yeah,
there's so many pogies, that's unbelievable. And I had to pass a lot of trout to go, too, because the trout were burning the birds up, and my guys wanted to go out there. I said, oh, look at the trout, guys. So I called the other guys, and they went and whacked them.
Yeah.
That's a good thing about having 12 guides, huh?
Absolutely. Well, triple tail and lemon fish, that ain't bad at all. What size are those triple tail?
We're going after that today. I haven't gone after. Somebody had a 33 yesterday.
Woo, that's a monster.
That's a big, big, big old triple tail. If I could catch five of them, that's plenty enough. I don't want to kill too many of them.
Now, how are they catching them? Are y'all fishing some structure floating stuff out there that they're hanging
up
on?
Yeah, we'll fish whatever we can find. You know, even if I go by a line or lilies in the water, when I pass everything, I'm looking to see if they're there. And I'll go that. But I had a limit of mangroves day before yesterday and turned back 15 snappers. And then yesterday we caught a limit of snappers and about, I guess, 15 mangroves and three cobias. So it's been real good.
Yeah, that's definitely good.
I had a big northwest on the east side, so the guys on the east side didn't do well. Uh-huh. But the west side was calm. So, you know, it's good to be like we are.
Right. 12 guides and two sides of a river with a levee in the middle that you can, you know, pick the side you want to fish on. You know, the mangrove snapper is a real finicky fish. How are y'all fishing them?
Yeah. Well, I started off with a jig head because it was all in about 15 foot of water, just 15 to 20. And, you know, I look at them on the depth finder, and I would put a jig head down to get it down that way. Then once they get finicky, and, you know, once the sun comes up good and they get finicky, I put a number one hook, a little bitty hook with a split shot above it, and I put that hook all up in that pogey's mouth and just come out the top of his head to where they can't see it. And I just drift it down there, whang.
So, now, you fishing on a rig structure or just a reef? Or
yeah, rigs for mangroves.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
and,
that's
and the red snappers, too. And I'm only in, you know, I'm shallow, comparatively speaking, where I know a lot of people caught me in 450 foot of water yesterday, but I'm shallow. I'm 50 foot of water.
Yeah, well, that's good. And, you know, the thing about it is you can't go undergunned for snapper because that is a powerful fish. And once they feel that hook, they head straight for that rig to wrap you up and break you off.
You can get undergunned really quick. They're so powerful. Oh, my gosh. And then the sharks, there's so many sharks. You know, we caught a bunch of sharks yesterday. But it's just fun. They kept me out too long. I'm old. They don't know that he's wearing me out.
Yesterday,
and they kept saying, one more. I said, one more, I'm going to be dead.
Oh, yeah, sound like y'all having fun down there. Well, yeah, listen, I've been taking
storms on the west today.
Yeah, and later this evening, so y'all need to get it done and get on in. You know, you got a great recipe called Redfish Ryan, which I've enjoyed down at the Cajun Fishing Lodge. Do you think that would work with red snapper? What do you do with snapper, either mangroves or
without
red snapper?
A doubt. Well, I like either to crush the snapper and cook it down and just, you know, pan fry it like that, with really not even pan fry, just a little olive oil and butter. Or I like to meniere it, where I take it and just dredge it in flour real quick, just dry. Then I'll put it in olive oil and butter, just enough to get the bottom of the pan going. Then I'll brown it on one side. Then once I flip it over, I hit it with the Tony's, lemon and pepper, and granulated garlic, and then a Worcestershire sauce. A good amount of Worcestershire sauce, more than you would think. Uh-huh. You put it last because it starts getting burnt and blackened up real quick. But after that, just turn it over, put it in your plate, and oh, my word.
Yeah.
I do trout like that. I do snappers like that. That's what we're going to do tonight, actually. And you know what? I did shrimp like that last week for some folks. You would not believe we get some big 10-15s in Manierum. Oh, that was so good.
Yeah, you guys really struggle down
there. Now you see why I'm so fat, huh?
Oh, man, y'all eat like Spartans there. You know, you just don't have any good food down there, you know?
We're so fortunate to be where we are and doing what we want, man. I tell you what.
Absolutely.
We have been blessed in our world, I'll tell you.
Yeah. Well, you should be spotting some teal sometime soon, too, now. The early scouts ought to be down here.
Yep, that, and I got to start building blinds and getting ready for that.
Yep.
No rest for the weary, my friend.
I know what you mean.
I'm going to Noliasi next week or the week after, on the 15th. I'm going down there and get my eye right on some white wings.
All right.
Make sure I can hit them when they come.
Yeah, I think you can. I think you'll remember. You didn't forget how to lead them. Oh, by the way, I wanted to ask you, do you use that Carlson 2 joke on the doves, too, or just the ducks?
I try to use the 2 on the doves.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Rob Roberts T2.
Right.
And it works good. But that T3, and now they got another one, a Raptor, I think. I haven't used it yet. But if it gets tighter than the T3, it's not even fair anymore.
Yeah. Well, since I got that Rob Roberts joke, it certainly improved that little Beretta I got, on the ducks. And I'm thinking I'm going to go with it for the doves, too, because I just don't think when you get out there, 40, 50 yards with those regular chokes, they just don't have enough BBs.
Oh, no.
They're too
spread
out.
But you get up there with that T3, you can hit a duck at 60 yards, no problem. I mean, if you can hit. But that T2 is really good, too, and I'll be throwing that around for doves. Yep. I'll take it with me.
All right, well, I got something else I need to talk to you off air. I'll call you later when you get back in this evening.
Okay, sounds great.
All right, take it easy. Captain Ryan Lambert, check him out at Cajun Fishing Adventures, and he's always available on the cell phone at 504-559-5111. All right, coming back after this, it's time to wrap it up. Red Snapper Day on the Outdoor Show. We've got time for a last-minute text with some recipes or reports. We'd love to have you checking in with us. It's 504-260-1870. All right, kind of wrapping up our Red Snapper program this morning, and thanks for all of you who participated. We did get that question on the distinguishing male redfish from female, and I got a text that reminded me that the male drum, both the red and the black drum, croakers, trout, which are actually members of the drum family, it surprises a lot of people, speckled and white, the male do make a drumming sound that the females don't do. So if you hear them grunting or drumming, then yes, that would be a male fish. Also, during the spawning season, a lot of times when you first bring a male fish into the boat, it will eject sperm out, just kind of a reaction. And that way, the females, of course, obviously don't do that. So that's another way you can tell. But I'm not really sure why it would be important to distinguish a male from a female when it comes to those species. All right, anyway, I got some more. One says, oil and gas platforms. Why do you call them rigs? Well, it's just a synonym. It's another name for a oil or gas platform. It's a structure, and they're called rigs by some people and sometimes platforms, but then it's interchangeable. If you hear somebody mention a platform or a rig, it's basically the same thing. All right, here's one, Don. How do you feel about diversion? Freshwater how many hours do you have? It's not a simple topic, but I'll try to give you a simple answer. Just like I talked about when you go fishing, when you go to war, bring all your weapons. I believe all the weapons against diversion are needed, which would be rocks, dredging and filling, freshwater diversion to provide nutrients as a maintenance. But most of all, it takes money, and I don't see it. We're going to be running out of BP funds before most of the diversion projects that are planned are completed. I don't think the rest of the country, although they feel sorry for us, I don't think they want to put up their tax money. I think the oil and gas revenues, which are GOMESA money, which is put into combating coastal erosion, the rest of the states want to take that money when we bear the brunt of the oil and gas industry, the damage that it does to the coastline. Basically, I'm a realist, I'm a pragmatic, and I don't believe we're going to save the coast. I think it's too little, too late. Certainly, if there were enough money, yeah, look what they did in Dubai. It would be possible, but
I don't see it happening. I think we're going to lose more land eventually than we construct. There's also some other factors, mitigating factors, subsidence, where it's not only being eroded, it's sinking. It's being saltwater intrusion, which is eating away at the coast. I think we're fighting a losing battle, but I think the fight is probably worth doing. There's a lot of money being spent, and there's a good argument that maybe relocation would be a better use of the money than trying to save the coast. But it's a sad situation, it is. But again, taking a realistic approach to it. But that's basically in a nutshell. But, I mean, it's a very complicated subject, and we could talk for hours and hours about it. All right, here's one. Says, Don, enjoyed your substitution talk show this past week. I can remember when you did that as a Friday weekly for Garland Robinette. Yeah, going back, I did it for Bob Del Giorno, too. In fact, you're going to hear me on our flagship station. I am going to be guest hosting the Morning Drive show, the Tommy Tucker show, on our flagship station, WWL AM and FM 105.3, next Tuesday through Friday. And the guy that's pushing all the control buttons right now, Cullen Steele, he's going to be with me. We're going to be working as a team from Tuesday to Friday next week, and then the following Monday I'll be on from 6 to 10 a.m. Sorry, don't expect a lot of outdoor talk like we do on Saturday mornings. There will be political talk. There will be some social issues brought up. Whatever happens to break on a Morning Drive show, we'll be talking about it. So hope you'll tune in, participate. The phone lines will be open for you. Text line will be open, too, and I hope you do that. Next week on this show, I'm going to try to get her. Hopefully I can get her. Julie Grunwald, girl, a lady that does just a fantastic job with the Louisiana Hunters for the Hungry. We got Clean Out Your Freezer Day coming up, and it's not only a Clean Out Your Day, it goes on for a couple of weeks. It starts around the earliest collection site in Louisiana, I think is the 12th, which is a Monday, and it goes through later into the month. I'll be manning one in Slidell at the Rouses on Gauze Boulevard from 1 to 4 on Sunday, the August the 18th. And hopefully you'll come by, say hello, bring me some wild game of any type. They take ducks, they take deer, venison. Now they can accept hogs. Hopefully it'll be processed and wrapped with a date on it. If you've had sausage made and your freezer's still full or half full and you say, man, I'm getting ready to do some fall fishing and the hunting season's coming up, I got to make some room in this freezer. There's no better way to clean out your freezer than by donating it to Hunters for the Hungry. They serve it at food banks all across the state. There's a dire need, and as the economy gets tighter and tighter, there's more and more people need assistance, a lot of times through no fault of their own. They're going through some tough times, and it's certainly welcome when they hold some of these events where they distribute the food to them or to the food banks, which in turn cooks it and serves up some wonderful wild game and seafood dishes. So if you can spare it, and a lot of people, they just come to the store. You can walk in Rouse's, go to the meat counter, pick something up, and come out and drop it off. We'll have ice chests out there. We're going to have some caps and fishing towels and some giveaway stuff from Hunters from the Hungry, and we'll talk more about it. If you want to find out where there's one near you, go to cleanoutyourfreezerday.com. You'll find all the details right there. All right, hope you enjoyed today's show, and we love having you here. We invite you to come on back again next week. We do it every Saturday morning, 5 to 7 a.m., 52 weeks a year. We're starting our 36th year of this program called The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network.